on your own shores as your beam of light there. So our brother Anderson Gibson, in 1983, there was an incursion in the island of Grenada because the communist government at the time and the communist slash socialist government of Maurice Bishop, both Maurice Bishop, the prime minister, and his cabinet members were lined up on a wall by their own party officials, and they were sprayed through with bullets, and they died. And I remember as a young man in Jamaica, listening to the news, we saw Ronald Reagan coming out, the president of the United States, and making an address to this nation that they are going to send in troops to Grenada to deliver the Americans that were there and also to deliver the Grenadians who were held captives. And it was really a messy situation. And they did. And so when Anderson came just about a month ago to our home, I sat him down the day after and just to find out what went down. And this man started to cry, you know, as he recalled the events of the time and he and his family hiding. But praise God, they were delivered. Amen?
Amen.
And God has called him to do to even a greater ministry of deliverance, to deliver people from a worse place, from a greater danger of an eternity away from the Father. And I want to introduce you to and invite to come just to share a little about his ministry. In the service, we'll be presenting a PowerPoint slide so you could see some of the pictures of this ministry. But he'll be sharing just a little and then also giving the word. What time do we finish, Pastor? At 10:30. So it's now. Is that clock correct? No.
Close enough.
All right. Okay.
Well, good morning to saints of God. It's a wonderful privilege to be here. I never thought of this. And when you're serving God, he will take you to his plans, his pastures, his fields, you know. And so I thank God to be here this morning. I thank God for the missions, you know, seeing me on the battlefield and calling out to me and say, listen, we want to help you. We could work with you. We see what you're doing. And here I am this morning. Here I am in America. Never even thought, dreamt I was coming to America. But that's the way Lord does it. So I'm happy to be here this morning. I'm Anderson Gibson. I have a family back home. A family of four. My wife is Lolita. You will learn a little bit more of that later on. I have two girls and two boys. Well, we were married in 1994, the 13th of August, 1994. And so this August makes us 30 years. And so God has been good to us. My first daughter, who is 27 now, she'll be married on the 4th of May. And the second daughter is in university. The first boy, he's in college, he's doing auto mechanics. And the second boy, you would want to know how old he is, would you? He's only four. So it's like 14 years ago, the Lord says, you know, you're not over yet. And that's it. So 27, 25, 20, 18, and 4. So God has I've had a rich running with God. Yeah. Well, for my life, you know, being saved since 1991, the Lord has used me across the ministry. Wherever he calls, wherever he leads, I follow. And working as a with the youth department, with the converts class, teaching the converts class, driving the church bus when there was one to be driven. But I enjoy cleaning the church. I love cleaning the church, making sure the house of God looks clean, you know. But I believe the Lord had a greater burden on my heart, and that is reaching the lost. So I love evangelism. I love knocking door to door. I love, you will see some of that later on the slide we show you. Our church, First Baptist Church, is focused on street ministry. You will see us in all around the community standing at different places in the on the street where fellas might be gambling or sitting on the blocks, relaxing and drinking. We go everywhere around our little Jerusalem and stand on the street corners and preach the word of God. When we're doing Bible distribution, we go from house to house, make sure at least every house could get a Bible if once we have. Leave a Bible, leave your address. Some people would call and say, oh yeah, I've got the Bible. Where are you? Can I come to church? Yeah. And so we make connection with people that way. We don't even see them, but we leave the Bible and a number. And we give out tracts, you know. That's one of the things that we do as part of our ministry. Additionally, we do have a great work with the children. Youth ministry, we usually, well, from COVID, it kind of a shutdown, but we used to have regional youth camp. So we would have youth camp in rotation, Trinidad, St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Grenada. So it hosts, every year we alternate an island having youth camp. So this was one of the, a very rich and rewarding aspect of the ministry. But today we do a lot of local camps. Since COVID, we have been home more or less, but that's never stopped. So during the reveling periods, like in the August time when there is Carnival, I know there is Eastern Park waiting up here too in the U.S., but we have Carnival in the Caribbean. All the islands usually have their thing different time of the year. We have in Grenada, it's August. So during that time, we pitch our camp, our youth camp. So when all the parents wants to go reveling, we ask for the children. We try to reach the youth. And we usually use that period between the reveling time to have 2 weeks of camp in a remote school or so. So they are away from the heavy pumps of music. And we work with our young people in that way. And we usually have children's camp as well. During the same time, like we just had an Easter camp for the children again. And so that's what we do. So we keep them focus on the word of God, keep, you know, help them on the right path until they can stand on their own 2 feet. And so that's what camp does. It puts them, it helps to keep the kids and the teens on the right path. And then they will soon be able to stand on their own 2 legs. And so basically that's how we operate our ministry back home. Street evangelism and so forth. Last October, we started a new ministry. We planted a new church. Well, we're still in, well, it's not altogether finished in terms of the planting process, but we have been having services in that community, a community called Horeb. And you know Horeb as Mount Sinai, the name Horeb in the Bible. So that community, we have started our work there last October. It's a struggling community, a very poor community, and there is a lot of challenges there with drugs and, you know, young children. The poverty is really tough in that community. It's a sort of a squatters area, built up squatting area and so forth. And but a lot, there are so many young men in that community, and I went to a wedding in that community one time there. And, you know, the Lord just impressed my heart to go back. And we went back, you know, a couple of the brethren, we went back there, spoke to the people in the community and feel them out a little bit. And they were very, very receptive. So we thought, let's have open-air meetings in the street, right in the community there. And, you know, the response was tremendous. You know, people came for prayer. People made decisions during that week of prayer meetings. And then I told my folks back in home, in our home church, listen, we got to stay. We got to stay. What I realized is some churches would perhaps come in and take some of the folks and bus them out to their church. And it was not working out when I did the study. And, you know, they were not really getting the right help they needed. So we decided we would stay. And so there was a community center, the local community center there. I sought to have it, you know, used. And they asked me to pay a little stipend, whatever, to have the use of it. And so we have started having services there since last October, and the horror ministry is doing well, well received by the community, and the word of God is preached there every Sunday morning. It's going well, and I mean, I can't complain. You know, it's how the Lord led us to be there. So it's going all right. We are doing well there, trying to make sure the word of God remains there, being preached there, and to reach the community. So what happens on Sunday nights, we will have street meetings in the community. Sunday mornings, regular services, Thursday, prayer meeting. And Saturday, sometimes we go through giving out gospel tracts and inviting more folks to the church and making let them know that we are here. All right, so that's Horeb Ministry. Well, as we present later on, you will learn a little bit more about the needs area of all that has happened there. I'll probably mention a little bit more about it later on. But it's just having to do to work two services on a Sunday morning is where the challenge comes with transportation and, you know, personnel, you know. That's where I think the burden is. And then one of these days, we certainly have to find a home for Horeb, because we're paying rent in a building. So that's in the future development of that ministry there. All right? So thank you, and I hope to say a little bit more later about Horeb as we go along. Okay, so I want to just share a little bit with us this morning with a little time we have left. Half an hour should give me a good pitch this morning. But I will share a little bit from the book of Genesis. We will look at two personalities there this morning, Abraham and his nephew Lot. They can perhaps just make a few observations about the life of these two wonderful Bible personalities. Father, we thank you for your word, and God, we ask that you open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy word. Again, this morning, we thank you for those that are here this morning. We pray for those that are on the way, Lord, that you will hasten their steps, Lord, and give us, Lord, clarity this morning and understanding of your word. Thank you, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we have a development here of a record of a story or the life of experience here of Abraham and Lot. Chapter number 13, Genesis 13. And the Bible tells us here that Abraham was called of God, as we know basically of the account, and Abraham was called to move to the land of Canaan, a land promised of God, and so Abraham journeyed as the Lord had called him. And in chapter 13, the Bible tells us there that, and Abraham was one, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and Perizzite dwell then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now we just want to look at quickly at a beautiful example this demonstrated by Abraham. Now we know for a fact that Lot is Abraham's nephew. Chapter 14 and verse number 12 tells us that, I think. Yeah? 14:12 tells us that. Abraham cites a conflict or a strife. And that's what I want to look at this morning a little bit as we move on. That there will be conflicts in our life. There would be strife. There could be circumstances that could be difficult, present itself to be difficult and challenging at times. And I know in school, teachers always have to do with conflict. In workplace, a lot of it's said about conflict resolutions, challenges. But I don't think that is in marriages. We don't have any. We have that in marriages? No. That can't be said. They're just divorced. Nothing, no, don't have any conflicts. But in marriages, there are challenges as well. Strifes, difficult things to unfold and to deal with and all of that. But how does Abraham manage this matter that shows up itself there? Abraham demonstrated great humility. Abraham, you know, did not beat his chest. I want us to notice that. He didn't say, listen, I brought you here. I'm your uncle. You all quiet yourselves. Go in a corner and behave yourselves. Settle down. And if you do anything, I will get you out of here. I brought you here, you know, and I'm your nephew, I'm your uncle. Not at all. What Abraham demonstrated here, and I want us to notice the use of a word, brethren. He referred to Lot as, say, we be brethren. How many times as Christians we forget that when dealing with believers, or your very sibling, or your very wife, or your very husband, who are saved people within the same congregation, or maybe outside of different congregations, but you are brethren, we allow, you know, flesh to take over, self, pride, and, you know, did not do the godly thing in this situation. And I want to remind us this morning, brothers and sisters, that my wife is my sister in the Lord, and your husband is your brother in the Lord. And so when the Bible warns us not to bite and devour, you know, we got to pay much attention when there is a strife that we don't bite and devour our brothers and sisters. That's not supposed to happen. Not supposed to happen. Not only that, even in the secular, when you go there, you ought to be a light. So where there is a strife or anything happens in the workplace, you have to remember the spiritual things, that you have to be the light in the situation. Whether it's when it's your children, you ought to remember that you are the prophet, the priest, the king, the one to direct, correct, protect. You know, that's your role, and you have to demonstrate that level, that, and don't get caught by the devil and his tricks and so on to make us get into a war. Because our warfare is not carnal. It's spiritual. It's mighty to pulling down of strongholds. So we need to watch these things when a strife comes around, when there's a little teeth and tongue. Listen, then the night will soon pass. You know, we got to settle it down quickly. We got to understand, you know, don't fuel it, but defuel it, and, you know, speak peace into the situation. So Abraham, the Bible says, let your moderation be known in terms of your temperance. Be temperate one towards another. And diffuse this thing very quickly. One of the things I noticed about Abraham here too, Abraham understood very clearly if the Lord is for you, who should be against you? You don't have to fight for the property. You don't have to hate your brother or your sister because, you know, of lands that was given to you or to a will. And it happens, I've seen it in the church, where brothers and sisters, members of the church, have had a difficulty with a will or a property, and one left the church because of the fight on the outside. You see, the material thing, we saw the material thing and we didn't see the spiritual relationship. So we just fight and devour, and the spiritual now gets hit. So one left and the other one remain. Separation. And that's what happens when we miss these important markers. And so Abraham sort of defraud himself in some instance, defraud, but, you know, drawback. He says, if you take, watch Abraham's stone, if you take the left, I take the right. Committed to the person. You can't lose with the Lord as a believer. You know, and the Lord will certainly stand by your side. So he said, if you take to the left, I'll take to the right. You take right, I go left. You know, just have it and let it be peace. How many times, you know, we want blood? It's like Antonio and Bassanio in Shakespeare. Antonio wouldn't give up. He wants a pound of flesh. Even if it means Bassanio's life, he wants a pound of flesh. He's not thinking about life and death. He wants a pound of flesh. And this is dangerous amongst Christians. All right? Additionally, we want to move on a little bit again. Look at Lot now, on the contrast. We want to look at Lot. So the story moves on in verse number 10. It says there that, and Lot lift up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered for everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So Lot looked, he lifted up his eyes, saw what's going on over there with the property. Now look at verse number 11. Then Lot what? Chose him all the plain of Jordan. Then Lot did what? Lot journeyed east, and then they separated themselves the one from the other. Now, the next thing we notice in verse 12 is that what? Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, but where is Lot? And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Let's take a little deep breath here now. Sin is such that we got to be very careful with it. It's very subtle. Lot begins to go dumb. And I want us to notice that. People don't just backslide just like that. They don't just fall into sin and, you know, be drawn out in the world overnight. Just like that. It just happened like that. I don't know. It just happened just like that. No. The sin and separation from God has a progression to it. A progression to it. Eve, just up in Genesis, just up the road, Eve saw. Then she pondered the thing and she realized it was a fruit to be desired. Then she took it. She didn't eat yet. And then she ate it. And then she passed it on. Yeah, yeah. I ain't falling to sin me alone. The both of us going down. You know? Come on, wives. Come on, honey. I ain't going down me alone. You know, me and the wife always make joke about that, you know. So I said to her, whatever you bring here, I have to check the source. I have to make sure it didn't come from forbidden grounds, you know. You know, and listen, folks, as men and husbands, sometimes, you know, we got to be checking that, you know, our wives don't wander to forbidden places, forbidden grounds, entertaining things that they should not be entertaining, and vice versa. Yeah, don't miss the point. Don't miss that point. But, you know, that's truth. But anyway, Lot, the Bible says he looked, he saw, and we got to watch the eye gate to the heart. Eye gate. He looked. And I want to show you the progression here. After Lot had a look, the Bible says, he what? Verse number 11. He chose. Then in verse 11, he says, what? Lot? Verse 11? No? He journeyed. Took a walk. Listen, folks. When you're moving, when one is moving or is attracted to things and their heart is toward the thing, they're starting to move towards it. It draws you there. And then Lot did what? Separate himself. Sin separates. Brethren, sin separates. When your heart is drawn in a direction from God, it separates you from God. Your sin has separated you from your master. And that's what happens. Separation begins to happen. And you find when believers begin to go in a wrong direction, they separate themselves from other believers. Yeah, it's always, you always have to find, when see you last Sunday? Oh, my sister, 2 Sundays it didn't come. Oh, I'm praying for you. 3 Saturdays, 3 Sundays, 4 Sundays, and you're not seeing them anymore. Sin separates. Their delight and their enjoyment, their passion is changing slowly. So it tells us there that Lot now separate himself from and that's all right. Abraham did say to him, separate yourself, go, you know, shift yourself a bit, and wherever you choose, I'll be satisfied. But we want to see the extent to which Lot separate himself. And that's what is a concern here. Now, it tells us that Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, the promised land. And Lot was supposed to be with him. Whatever, the land could not have been, you know, such that it couldn't hold them. All the land of Canaan, you know, if we understand what the land of Canaan is all about. And it says it, and Lot dwelt where? In the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Brethren, whenever Lot comes out of his house, what does he see? Sodom. Your heart, your whole, you are now raptured, or you're now taken or drawn. You want to see this thing day and night. It captivates you, you know? And so you create an opportunity to view this thing, to you know, stay in touch with it in some way. You're always in touch with this direction now. And the Bible warns us, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I count it all down. All the things that I have gathered in this secular world, in this life. He says, I count it all down for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul put high, he esteemed the things of God. That all of those things, and Paul was a very learned guy. You know, Paul didn't hold on to his Jewish background. He didn't esteem that above knowing Christ. He didn't esteem his learning at Gamaliel over the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. None of these took priority in Christ's life. What happens when a person begins to go down is that things, worldly things, begin to take priority in their lives. And so look at what's going on here with poor Lot. So Lot separated himself. Brethren, I want to say that we notice that Lot pitches tent towards the Sodom. We have to understand, what is the Lord's statement? What is the Lord, God's word about Sodom? Verse 13 says, But the men of Sodom were wicked, and they were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. All right? And so that is the Lord's verdict on that place down there. We'll learn a little bit more of that later on. Now, so Lot, we learn here that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. We never say that Lot living down in Sodom. But we say that he's going down, it seems. He seems to be moving out. Look at chapter 14 and verse number 12. 11 and 12. Right? Now, what has happened down here now, and it is mentioned in verse 5 up there, that three kings come together to besiege Sodom and Gomorrah. They decide to attack Sodom, besiege it, take all the booty, all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and go away with it. Now, verse 11 says, of chapter 14, when that happened, Bible tells us that and they took what? All the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and they went their way. What happened in verse 12? And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, he's down there now. He's right inside there now. And his goods, and departed. Lot is taken hostage. You see, God will always judge sin. God will punish sin. You know, and sometimes, you know, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ends of death, destruction, problems. And so, not long down the road, Lot is in problems. Lot finds himself in the heart of Sodom, and he's now taken hostage. Now, the other thing we're going to notice this morning is that, Abraham's response. And the lesson here is, again, just up the road in Eden, Cain asks, or in his comment, in his response, am I my brother's keeper? Brethren, we got to understand that we are brothers in Christ. And we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. We ought to be watching one for the other. Lot is taken hostage. What does Abraham do? Verse 14 of chapter 14. Abraham learned that his brother is taken hostage. And it says that, and when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his nephew or his brother? Nephew? His brother, Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So he did not bring back his nephew. He brought back his brother. Lot was a righteous man. Again here, too many times we have people who may backslide. You know, in a backslidden state, and the church, we just continue. We have 99. That's just one. Leave that one out there. Come on, even if we're having a nice fellowship, we have 99 here. What about one? That's all right. No, one matters. One matters. And so I want to say to us this morning that when a brother is in a situation, don't kill the wounded. But we have a responsibility to restore that person in the spirit of meekness. We've got to reach out to them, no matter how difficult it might be, but sacrifice for them and to help them in their situation. And it will happen. Even with David, the shepherd, he had this rod, and he would keep this, try to pull the sheep back to the flock, keep them together as they go along from danger and all of that. But the fact is, they may wander. It happens, you know? And so it is quite possible for a believer to wander. Yes. Captured by something. Yeah. And thinking it's greener pastures, but it's danger, it's trouble. And so we got to be careful, you know, that we look out for our brothers and sisters. For time's sake, I want to go to chapter 19. All right? I want to go over to chapter 19, but while we're there, I want to remind us of this little incident as well. Just in a nutshell, Abraham was visited by three angels, all right, announcing to him that Sarah will have a babe. And Abraham, you know, they were excited about it. His wife laughed, and you know the story. But not only that, when these three angels were about to leave Abraham, they said, "Listen, we're on a separate mission, and that is we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We're under command to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." Now, Abraham beseeched the Lord not to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And so we learn about the peradventure. Perhaps peradventure, there might be 40, 45, maybe 30. And Abraham went all the way to 10, pleading with the Lord not to destroy the righteous with the wicked. There may just be a righteous person there, or 10 righteous persons. Abraham got down to 10. And it seems not possible that there were 10 righteous persons in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham beseeched the Lord. But I believe that in the back of Abraham's mind, Lot is down there. Yeah, Lot is perhaps down there. Lot was rescued. Lot came back home. Look at 19 verse 1. Let's read it together. Chapter 19 and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Lot is at the gate of Sodom. Now, the gate of Sodom is a very, is like a trade area, an area perhaps that you find a lot of deals and transactions happening. You find that people might witness certain, act as witnesses for certain transactions or deals. You might find some legal minds there. Many things could have been happening there at that place at the gate of Sodom, a very high place, so to speak. Lot is down there in Sodom conducting business. Now, what I want to say to us this morning is, as brethren, as a little time we have left, as husbands, we are expected to lead our families. Yes, and that's correct. But we got to understand that we got to lead according to how the Lord would want us to lead our families. Lot takes his family to a very evil place. And there are a lot of repercussions to that when we as husbands would mislead our wives and our children, our families, and bring them up in an environment for which God expects us to bring them up. And Lot suffered daily for his actions. All right? And so look at what happens here. So the angels here come, tells Lot, listen, we need to get out. We are here to destroy this place. Look at verse number 12. And the man said unto Lot, hast thou there here any besides son-in-law? Verse 12 of chapter 19. And thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city, because he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Going on a little bit more, he says, and when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon him, his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And my charge to you this morning, brethren, is escape for your life if you are lingering in sin, lest you be consumed. You're going to be punished. God chastens his own. It will not be an easy place for you to linger in your sins. I want us to notice something about Lot. Lot lost his testimony. His very sons-in-law thought he was a mocker, coming to tell him about God. It means that he wasn't doing nothing for God or to his life. The Bible tells us that our lives are a living epistle read of men. Lot's life seems not to be being read properly down there. He probably was not displaying what he ought to display down there. We know, the Bible tells us, that Lot was vexed with what was happening. But again, to be in that place is not the right place to be sometimes. Even if in your spirit, you're not happy with what's going on within your spirit, but you're living in it. That's the problem. Additionally, Lot had to be hastened. If there is such a struggle with getting the righteous out of sin, out of an ugly place, how much more difficult it is when you have a righteous in the midst of the wicked. How would we get the wicked out from sin? How would we help reach them if it seems pleasurable to the righteous? Additionally, when Lot should be making haste, the Bible says he lingered. He lingered. And I said to us believers this morning, do not linger in sin. It's a very, very dangerous place, dangerous grounds to tread on. And so the warning here is lingerers, escape or be consumed. And there's so much more to this story as we go along, but I have to cut at this time because of time. Lot's daughters end up in real mess with him under alcohol. More to be said about the husband and alcohol. Same thing with Noah up the road and his son, Ham. So think about these things. And thank you again. Pure as the heart, come in thy sweet.